the committee officials from Parliament, Treasury, SARS. You are all welcome. The meeting is officially open. Are there apologies?
Yes, Chair. Two apologies. That's Jordan Hill Lewis and Walter Wessel. And obviously, Mr. Skosana. Yeah.
Okay. We will be moving to item three. Consideration and adoption of the committee report and voting clause by clause. So on rates and monetary amounts and amendment of revenue laws bill B26-2020. Let me get my stuff right here. Let me get it clear, Alan. We first go through the bill or through the report.
I think the bill chairperson, but Frank's on the platform, so he can also just come in from a legal point of view.
Advocate Jenkins. Because I see here it says we must go clause by clause, so it means it's the bill.
Let me just start my video. There we go. Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members. Chair, it really doesn't matter that much, but what usually happens is that we go clause by clause, Chair, because there might be issues in the bill itself which members might want to change or tweak, if I may put it that way. So we go clause by clause on the bill. The bill is final, or there needs to be the work done on it, then that's done. The report gets read, the report gets adopted, the bill gets adopted. But I think the clause by clause, thinking that there might be one or two things that need to be done, might go first. But legally, Chair, either which way, doesn't matter. Thank you.
How have we done it before, Advocate Jenkins?
Clause by clause first, Chair. We first go clause by clause.
Then adopt the report.
And then the report. If the members are happy with the clause by clause in the bill as it is, then that's fine. Then we deal with the report, the wording of the report, and then we basically the bill is adopted when we adopt the report as amended or as the clause by clause out here.
No, okay. Is it possible to flag the bill on the screen?
I'll do that now, Chair.
Is Momo and Yanga here? Are they here?
Yes,
the T-Lab and the T-Lab.
Oh. The baseball, the T-Lab and Talab, yes, Chair.
The Talab.
You.
Okay, you are welcome.
Thank you, Chair and Honorable Members.
Yanga, where are you?
I'm here, Chair. You can hear my voice. Next year, I'll be having a computer.
Okay. Alan, are we succeeding in projecting the bill?
Chair's up on my side. I'm not sure if it's projecting on your side.
It isn't. It just shows that you have to click for the bill to get projected. I don't know. Honorable members, can you see the bill from your side?
No, we can't see anything. Yes, we can now. Yes, thanks.
Okay, there we are. Section 1. It just started with section. Is this section 1 or what is it, Alan? It just says 1, then section 2. Okay, yeah. There you are. let's go to the object of the bill, the title page, explanatory, okay. Honorable members, are we fine with the object of the bill? Okay, proceed. Section one. There we are. Section two. Wait there. Go back a bit.
Chip, may I come in?
Yes, Momo, there you can come in.
Yeah. Yes, Chair, maybe just to help members with the process today, bear in mind what we've done. The committee has obviously had hearings on all three bills. Various people have submitted. We provided a draft response, and that was all on a draft bill, so everything was draft. And then the minister on the day of MTPPS table the revised bills that you have in front of you. Now, I think just two issues that might come up is we always say, is there any change on the table bill from the draft bill that you expected? And, you know, because one or two players have also written and so on. And we just want to alert you there's any issue in this bill. So for every bill, we'll tell you if there's any changes from what you expected. So maybe, Yanga, you can just come in on the rates bill. Is there anything on the table bill that we need to alert members to?
Hi, Momo. There's nothing much, but because we said we can do the changes in the budget next year because it's more of a technical renumbering of paragraphs. So it's not an important issue that needs a mention here. But it's more of a technical issue. We can do it next year because it was highlighted regarding the renumbering of paragraphs, not the changing in any rate. So it is in clause four. So that is the small issue. We can do it next year. So we don't need to alert the members here. Thanks.
Okay, so there's no new issues that arose or anything, just so that members know everything that we want to be fully transparent. That's it. Okay, now thanks, Chair. I've also got other members, Chris and from South France, so they should also come in if there are any issues. Thank you, Chair. So there's nothing more on this bill from the draft bill you saw.
So what you're saying, the section that we have to attend to, Yanga, it's section four. You said there's a technical change somewhere.
Yes, it's in clause four, Chair. We say that I'm just alerting you and also in the public domain to say that there was a problem regarding the renumbering of paragraphs because there we've got Roman figures 1, 2, and 3. We must have AA, BB, and CC. So it's more of a technical amendment, not change in medical tax credits or any number there, except for the renumbering of the paragraph. We agreed that we're going to do it next year when we do the rates bill next year and do the changes retrospectively because it's renumbering of paragraph 10.
Okay. Let's go back to one and just members indicate that we agree so that we follow the procedure. Section one, do we agree? As it is required that we go clause by clause. Do you agree with section one, members?
Agreed.
Section two, fixing of rate of normal tax with all those amendments from 1962. Agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. The next clause, 3, section 6 of the Income Tax Act 1962 is hereby amended. Agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed. 4, Ms. Mputa has explained what should have been inserted there. Younger, you are saying instead of Roman figures, it should be...
It should be paragraph AA instead of Roman figure 1, paragraph DB, paragraph CC. So it's more technical issues in relating to drafting. Hence, you are saying that we can change that next year and make it retrospectively to this date because it's more of a technical issue regarding the drafting of the legislation.
Because we have got many NGOs in South Africa with lots of money always taking government to court even on technical issues. Don't you think it will be a problem that the drafting can be attended to in a matter of a day? You know, every day government is ever taken to court on technical issues. I'm just asking...
Chair, if I can come, if I may come in. Yes, look, I think we can correct it. We'll just have to get you a letter just because we have to do it in terms of the Money Bills Procedure Act. But it is a technical amendment, and we had discussed with Advocate Jenkins. So if the committee wants us to correct it, we can correct the numbers, and we can provide a letter later in the day. Yanga, is that okay?
Yes, because it will be like the committee, we've said it in the public domain, and if the committee is of the view that if it's renumbering, then we can do it. But it will need a letter, because in terms of Section 14 of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure Act. Thank you, Chair.
We can provide that letter quickly today, even as we speak.
No, let's do that. Even if somebody doesn't take us to court, somebody can just decide to write an article in a business newspaper or a business journal and just project us as if we don't know what we're doing. You know, in South Africa, there are too many activists for things which are detracting progress. So let's be on the safe side and you provide us with that letter and the drafters attend to it so that by the time the bill is passed by Parliament, we'll have attend to that technicality. Thanks. Let's move to the next section. Five.
So Chair, may I just ask if Yanga can just formally read the change so that the committee has it just for the record in clause 4. If she can just say accurately what the amendment is, just because there's a Money Bills Procedure Act, that's why I think it's better to be safe. If she can just read what the change is, and I can already say that the minister will support this change. So we shouldn't have any problem from a Money Bills Procedure Act. Yanga, do you want to just exactly what the change is?
Currently, Chair, clause 4 reads as follows. Section A of the Income Tax Act is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 2B for subparagraphs 1, 2, and 3 of the following subparagraphs, respectively. The amendment will read as follows. Section 6A is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 2B for subparagraphs 1 and 2 of the following subparagraphs, respectively. So, and then currently we've got 1, 2, and 3. In the proposed amendments, we've got Roman figure 1, and then under Roman figure 1, we've got AA, whereby there's an amount, BB, 620 becomes 638, 60, 620 becomes 638, and then we've got Roman figure 2. So that's all what we are doing. So we are changing the Roman figures 1, 2, and 3 there to Roman figure one, but we'll have AA, BB, and CC check. That's all we are doing. Thank you.
But yeah, not to be clear, it should read Section 6A of the Income Tax Act, 1962 is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 2B for subparagraphs, and then you're changing that those numbers 1, 2, and 3. Is that the only change you're making?
That's the only change, to take out the Roman figure to say to have AA, BB, and CC.
Okay.
Mm. In Roman figure 1, and then we're going to have Roman figure 2. So those, that's what is happening.
No, okay. Okay, no, thanks. Let's go back to 5. Agreed, members? Honorable
agreed,
members?
Sir. Agreed.
Thanks, Honorable Mavila. 6. Agreed.
Agreed, teacher.
Thanks, Honorable Mavila. 7.
Agreed.
Agreed. You are the official mover today, Honorable Mavila.
And I'm using my iPhone, I'm on the road.
Okay. We understand today is a busy day because of by elections. 8. Agreed, honorable members.
Agreed.
Agreed. Next. Hello.
Agreed.
9. Zanen, is it you who's speaking?
Agreed.
Agreed, Zanel. How is there rain in Tembis? Ten. Agreed.
Agreed.
Agreed. Agreed. 11, the short title.
Agreed.
Agreed. Thanks. And then those are the schedules. Schedule 1. Frank, do we also have to move through the schedules?
Chairperson, one can just read the schedules as a schedule. You don't have to go line by line in the schedule, Chairperson.
No.
But the schedules are part of the Act. We don't usually go through them, Chairman. If there's a problem with the schedules, it's we sort of just go through and say any comments on the schedules itself, and they move on, Chair. It's not part of the line by line exercise as such.
Okay, thanks. We are done with the clause by clause of the bill. So now we have to go to the report. Draft rates and monetary amounts report 2020, report of SCOF on the rates and monetary amounts and amendment of revenue laws bill B26-2020. Key issues raised during public hearings. The committee. What is it that we are adopting here? Dr. Thorpe, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Chairperson. Yes, I'm here, Chair.
This is the report.
Yes, this is the report on the rates and monetary amounts.
Does it have recommendations? Because I see the item 4 is public hearing and then conclusion.
Yes, Chair.
mainly the committee observations on the key issues raised during the public hearings. That's where the committee expresses itself. So the last proposal recommendation is that the committee will deal with these proposals when they are presented in the form of a bill in the future.
You have to read the whole thing in progression, then the last sentence.
So where do we start? Key issues
on the key issues raised.
Do we have to go to issues raised, or we have to go to the recommendation? Because we have been there at the public hearings, all of us.
Yeah.
Under 5.1, the grammar there, or there's a typo which has to be corrected. The committee
reports the bill.
Meaning what?
Means that you're reporting the bill to the House, to the National Assembly.
Is it reporting or tabling?
Can Advocate Jenkins assist there?
Oh.
And normally we put this line in the end, that the committee reports the bill. I think one of the relevant issues to look into is on 4.3, Chairperson.
What's the issue there?
If you can go up.
The committee believes that SARS and law enforcement agencies should step up measures to cap illicit trade in tobacco, which is costing the fiscal billions of rand every year and lost revenue. 19 November, the committee hosted a meeting on illicit tobacco trade and highlighted its views that if nothing is done to cap the illicit trade, the illegal tobacco industry will collapse. COVID-19 lockdowns and rampant illicit trade has emphasized the urgency with which government has to move to cap the illicit trade on tobacco and strengthen its enforcement. The committee will continue to play its oversight role to ensure that enforcement measures are enhanced. The committee, however, believes that this does not mean that there should be no increase in the excise rate, as the tax regime for tobacco products is aimed at dealing with the harm caused to health by consumption of tobacco.
Yes, sir. Basically, there was a lot of opposition from the tobacco industry to the increase in excise rate, and some of them said it shouldn't increase above 40% of excise incidents. So I think this responds to those kinds of comments that the committee received from the tobacco industry, which was opposing, and some of them cited issues of government having to go after illicit trade instead of increasing the excise duty and so on. So that was the main issue in this bill, the industry opposing the increase in excise duties. And also, other issues that were raised were the issues on e-cigarettes and vaping. But I don't think that they are not part of this bill. It was just an announcement that they could be raised in the future, like next year. So that's why there's that paragraph 4.4 in the end. That since this is not part of this bill, the committee will deal with it, because it did receive a lot of comments on that from the industry.
Okay.
Yeah.
National Treasury and SARS, you were there when the tobacco industry voiced their concern about the continued increase of excise duties. How do you engage them on a regular basis for you to justify the increase of the taxes on tobacco. Was from
so, the Chair, if I may come in.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, we obviously, I think nobody likes it when there's any increase. Now, we do have a broad approach. We meet the industry regularly. In fact, they even more than regularly once a year, but they want to meet more than once a year. We've pointed out that what we have is merely a guide, and obviously the minister does have the right to announce whatever release, increase or so in terms of the law, and when we do that, we justify it. I think that the point certainly on illicit tobacco, I think we would support that as well. I think that's an issue. But when we also deal with the tobacco industry, Chair, we have to deal with what is the policy in terms of the Department of Health. In fact, if anything, after COVID, the issue has been, should the increases not be even bigger? Have we been too conservative? But that does need to be linked to the issue of enforcement, because if you're not strict on the illegal tobacco side, then obviously they tend to increase their share, and ideally their share should be zero. So that's why we do take the point on enforcement. I think the Chair, there is the other issue of vaping and heated products and so on. And on those, the minister did make an announcement in the February budget. And let me say, I know that a lot of people think that vaping is a healthy way to go. We don't really, you know, the literature that's out there today is saying that, you know, vaping is okay for those who are smoking your normal nicotine tobacco. And they move towards vaping, so they cut down on the consumption of nicotine. That's a positive. But I think the concern is many, many young people, even at schools, have been encouraged to vape. And for those, vaping and those heated products are a step towards smoking. And that's why we will be publishing a paper shortly on it, because I think that you need strong measures, even on vaping, to ensure that it's not a path towards smoking. But those are issues that are not in this bill yet, technically, but those are issues that we are looking at, and we work with the Department of Health. I don't know if Chris or Yanga want to come in on that.
The only other point I would make is that in terms of our policy, we've been quite clear that we're targeting a percentage of the most popular category for tobacco, which is 40%, and we're slightly above that. But we've also said that it would be a minimum of at least inflation, so we wouldn't have increases below inflation, and that's been our policy for quite a long time. So it would really be going against what we're trying to do, to say, for example, have no increases in the excise. The other thing is that this is part of the tax measures that we use to raise revenue. We might have a guide there, but when we need to raise revenue as part of our fiscal consolidation efforts, that doesn't mean because we have a guide on tobacco, we can exclude excise increases on tobacco as one of the mechanisms we can use to raise revenue, so that instead you have to raise revenue on personal income taxes or fuel levy or other measures. It needs to be considered as part of the tax instruments that are available to the minister if he would like to raise revenue. Thank you, Chair.
And Chair, if I may add, so the whole issue with tobacco is, you know, with these what we call certain taxes, the question is, we raise it both in this instance for revenue reasons as well as trying to discourage people to smoke. And that's why with the health department or the health sector, the view is that the taxes are not high enough. They should be much higher to discourage its use. So that's always a balancing act that one needs to consider when it gets to tobacco. If I may just raise one other issue. I would want, not on this issue if I may, but just given the even the minor change we've made, I just want Advocate Jenkins to confirm that we are okay in terms of the money bills procedure process. We will provide the letter later in the day, but I can confirm there is a letter that we will send to the committee for the sake of formality and to ensure compliance with that law. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks. I think Advocate Jenkins will attend to that, as you are promising that you will send a letter before the end of the day. Any mover for the adoption of the report?
Excuse me, Chair, can I just come in before the adoption?
Okay.
We have to include that issue in the report, the change. So I think if the report is adopted now, you must acknowledge that that process needs to be included in the report itself.
Okay. Let's include that. Talk to Momo Yanga and Advocate Jenkins and see how it can be crafted to be part of the report. Any mover for the adoption with the inclusion of amendment on clause 4? Honorable members?
I move for the adoption with an amendment, Chen.
You move for the adoption. Any seconder? Any seconder? Honorable members, Honorable Mavila,
Chair, am I not audible?
Oh, you are audible now. Honorable Komo.
I second, Chair.
Honorable Komo, second the adoption. Okay.
It's Honourable George here. I would like to note the DA would reserve its position on the report.
Okay. Secretariat, just note that the DA reserves the reservation on the report. Okay.
Chair, Alan, so noted.
Yes, Alan.
As well, please.
I couldn't hear you properly. What were you saying?
Chair, yes, thank you. I've noted the reservation of the DA and also that the committee has adopted the report, so that's moved and seconded. But I would request the committee to do the same with the bill to move and second.
Was it not enough that we have moved clause by clause? So we also have to adopt the bill as a whole. Is that what you are saying?
Why is it getting wrong? What's that
now? Hello, hey, Mavilas. Can you mute? Alan, what are you saying? You're saying that we should adopt the bill as a whole, despite the fact that we have moved clause by clause, so that we are clear about the procedure.
Yes, Chair, because the committee's moved and seconded the report, but not the bill.
Okay. Any mover for the adoption of the bill?
Chair, it should be the bill as amended for clause 4.
Yes.
I would imagine.
Yeah, of course, we'll also include that in the report. Any mover for the bill with amendment
for clause 4? Yes, I move for the bill as amendment for clause 4 to be adopted.
Honorable Mavila Eta moves. Honorable Nkomo, where are you?
I'm here, Chairperson. Honorable Nkomo secured the adoption of the amendment.
Why aren't you Saleh Konin? Who's a television? Who is this after?
Network you have this bit.
That's a bit.
Chairperson, could you note that the DA reserves its position on the bill?
Okay, Dr. George.
Thank you.
Let's move to the next item, which is the consideration and adoption of the committee report and voting clause by clause on the, this is the TLAB, isn't it? TLAB is the next one. Yeah.
That's correct, Chair.
Well, the clause by clause, can you project the bill on the screen? Okay, there we are. Let's move to the object of the bill. There we are. And then clause one. Okay. Agreed, clause one.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause two.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Three. Agreed.
Agreed. Just three.
Hello, agreed.
Okay. Agreed. Section three. The next one, Alan. Four.
Agreed.
Agreed. Five.
Agreed.
Murolong, where are you?
I'm in the by-election campaign. Sorry.
Murolong, choose someone.
Who are you? Where are you? Where from nowhere. Where are you? Agreed, six. Agreed.
Agreed.
Murolong.
Murolong, what do
you I'm here.
Ukoma Muta or Ukokaino?
No, I'm in Rustenburg.
Oh, not the by-election for Rustenburg?
Yes, we've got a by-election in Rustenburg.
Oh.
Yes.
Section 8. Can you move up, Alan? Yeah, there we are. 8, agreed.
Agreed. 9.
And then 10. 10 agreed.
Agreed.
But take it that members have gone through the bill, so we don't have to go line by line. 11, agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 12.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Agreed. 13.
18. Agreed, Chef.
Agreed. 14.
Agreed, Chef.
Agreed. 15.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 16.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 17.
Sorry, Chair, to interrupt. This is
agreed,
last.
Chair.
Oh, before we agree, Honorable Nkomo, Madam Puta.
Sorry, Chair, to interrupt. On clause 17, yes. We also discussed it with Advocate Jenkins, but we thought we can do it next year also in the bills when we do the budget next year, because we did not want to interrupt the process of passing of the bills. Also, there's a technical error which was noticed on the finalization of the tax bills when they go for the final printing. What happened is that on Section 12J, the bill that was published for public comment, the effective date was 31 July 2020. And that provision is aimed at assisting them because it removes the unintended anomalies. Hence, we wanted the effective date to be that effective date. So when it went to the printing, the final bill came as 31 July 2021. The problem with the date of 31 July 2021 is that it comes after the sunset date of the 12J. I think they've written to you also, because the sunset date of 12J in the Act is 30 June 2021. So on discussions with Advocate Jenkins, really the court will think it's upset if you have a provision that starts after the sunset date of the legislation, because currently Section 12J comes to an end on 30 June 2020. And then here we've got a provision which says the effective date is 31 July 2021. That is another technical error that we discussed. We thought we can do it in the next year's budget, but it depends on you if we can add it as part of the technical error, that similar to the first one on the rates bill. But we can do it in the budget next year, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
So instead of 2021, it's supposed to be 31st July 2020.
Yes, Chair, because the sunset date, 12 day, comes to an end on 30 June 2021. So if we have an effective date of 31 July 2021, meaning that we've got an effective date after the sunset date of that provision as a whole. So that is
a
small technical error that... The zero changed to one during the final printing. I think between us and the printing, we did not notice that. So that is the final error that happened, Chair.
Can't we correct it before it becomes an act of parliament? Because there's a material difference. It's a year. I mean, somebody will say, but are you ignorant? Because ignorance of the law is not an excuse. It can be something very, very serious. Now that we have noticed that, can't it be changed and we put the correct date?
Yes, Chair. Thank you for that. We've discussed it with Advocate Jenkins, and he said it's a technical correction in terms of Section 14. So we can also include it as part of that technical error when we write that letter in terms of Section 14. But this is really a technical correction, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. No, let's do that and note it in our report. Otherwise, somebody can take us very, very, very tough on this one, and we're not going to win. because it's like we are misleading the taxpayers deliberately. So we'll be found to be on the wrong side of the law. And you know, courts just look at technicalities at times, not even on the merit. So let's correct that and note that in our report. 18, agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 19.
Agreed.
20.
Agreed.
Agreed. 21.
Agreed.
Agreed. 22.
Agreed. Murolo.
Agreed. Murolo mu bizu urwala bathu ka ka van kwa.
Agreed, Chairperson.
Agreed. 27.
Agreed.
28.
Radumela.
Radumela. And then 29.
Radumela.
Ralipuwa. 30.
Agreed.
31.
Agreed.
32.
Agreed.
34. Agreed.
Agreed, sir.
Agreed.
Agreed, sir.
35. Agreed.
Agreed, sir.
Agreed. 36. Agreed.
Agreed, sir.
37. Agreed?
Yes, agreed.
Agreed. 42.
Agreed.
43.
Agreed.
44.
Agreed.
45.
Agreed.
46. Daniel, Uru agrees.
Agreed.
Oh, agreed.
Agreed.
48.
Ramela.
49.
Ramela.
Agreed. 50.
Radumela.
Agreed. 51.
Agreed.
52.
Agreed.
53.
Agreed.
54.
Agreed.
55.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 56.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Chairperson.
Agreed.
Agreed, sir.
Agreed. 58.
Agreed.
59. Agreed. Okay. 60.
Agreed,
Carlo.
Agreed. 61. Agreed.
Agreed, Chipper.
Agreed. 62. Agreed.
Agreed.
Agreed. 63. Agreed.
Agreed.
Agreed. 64. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 65. Agreed.
Agreed, Shadow.
Agreed. 66. Agreed.
Agreed, Chairperson.
Agreed. 67. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 60.
Agreed, Chair. Agreed.
69. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 70. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 71. Agreed. 71, honorable members. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 72.
Agreed, Chair. Yeah.
Agreed. 73.
Agreed.
Agreed. 74.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
75. Agreed. 76.
Agreed.
76, and yeah, there you are. 76, agreed. 77, agreed.
Yes, agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
78. Agreed. 79, agreed. Honorable member, 79.
Agreed, Chairperson.
Agreed, 80. The short title.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Can somebody move for the adoption of the bill with that amendment of the date? Instead of 31st July 2021, it should be 2020.
I move for the adoption as you have stated with that date, Chair.
Move on.
Chair, sorry, if I may remind you, just with the change made to, I think it's clause 17, Youngest can correct the number. You can just record that. And just for formality to say the minister, we will write a letter to say the Minister of Finance supports that change.
No, okay. No problem. There's a mover. Any second?
I second, Chair, with the amendment.
Okay, second from Honorable Nkomo.
Chairperson, please could you note that the DA would reserve our position?
Okay, let's note the reservation by the DA. Thanks. And then let's move to the report on the T-Lab. Where is it? T-Lab and the T-Lab. Dr. Sope, what do we attend to here? Quite a long report. Key issues raised during the public hearings. Are there issues that you think we should specifically attend to? We have gone through the report. You can advise if there was that need follow up.
Yes, Chair, I'll just go to the main issues. Normally when we do this, when we do all these reports, we cannot cover all issues, but we focus on those that were really commented on a lot. So one of the issues that was commented to a lot was the export duty on scrap metal. That's the one that's appearing on the screen, and some of the things that were discussed in the committee are there in that paragraph, that the committee supports the introduction of an export duty on scrap metal, which will replace the price preference system. And also in these paragraphs, we attend to issues of those who were opposing, and some of them were calling for a total ban on the export of scrap metal and so on. So it's just that issue there, which was debated a lot during the hearing. And I'll also ask the National Treasury, especially Younger, to have a look at this and just check the accuracy of the report of the committee on some of these issues. Mm-hmm. And the other issue, if you can scroll down, Alan.
Let me get it clear, Dr.
Yes.
Sok.
Yes, Chair.
What do you want Madam Miyala to do?
Normally we compare to check the accuracy, because the tax bills are just too technical, Chairperson, and you'll appreciate that in the committee we've got a very limited resource as compared to National Treasury. So the technicality of the bills requires that we confer to ensure that what we write in the report is actually accurate. So I spoke to Younger yesterday about any changes that may have been effected on the bill, and she assured me that there wasn't, except for those technical things that she referred to together with Momo. So I was just asking if they could check the accuracy of what is written in this report.
Sorry.
Yes.
I think Francis just noted something on 1.1 and 1.2. The TLAB was published for public comment on 31 July 2020. It's unlike the race bill. The race bill
was on 21 July. Okay, thanks for noting.
You published for the second time. So meaning that you must collapse paragraph 1.1 and 1.2 to say that the TLAB was published on 31 July and it's not for the second time, it was the first time on 31 July. Thank you, Chief.
Okay, thanks. I will correct that.
Oh, okay.
Yes. If Alan can scroll down again.
Can
we scroll down to the next issue?
Paragraph.
it will be the next issue after the scrap metals. I think it talks about bus service.
Okay. Where is it? This is trade International Trade Commission, Bazaris.
It should be 4.8. Yeah, there were also a lot of comments on this issue, Chairperson, during the public hearing. That the National Treasury was trying to close a loophole or some kind of abuse in the manner in which some institutions were getting around this provision. It's one of the issues. There's nothing much to say on it except what is written here. Can you scroll down again, Alan? Yeah, of course, there were other key issues which are not really covered in much detail in the report, but I think that's it on this bill.
The issue of bursaries, those who made submissions last time, they made a follow-up with us that their submissions will be attended to. What's the issue actually at stake here? Because they seem very worried about what is coming in the T-Lab in regard to bursaries. What makes them to be worried, Treasury themselves? Because they keep on calling us and say, no, Chairperson, this matter should be attended to. So I'm not very much clued about the bursaries which have to be tax exempted. Can somebody give us a 1 minute free lecture about the bursaries in the position?
Sure, Chair, if I may come in. Chair, look, that issue was discussed in a lot of detail in the committee and we did respond to it. But let me just get Chris to remind members of the committee on the issue. Chris or Yanga?
I'm not sure if Yanga wants to start.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. What happens here is that we are not taking away the exemption of bursaries provided to employees. That exemption will remain. So if the employer provides a bona fide bursary to the employee, the exemption will still remain. What we are removing is that if that bursary is provided through the means of salary sacrifice, then the exemption will not apply. That is the only thing that we are doing. And we said in the previous, on the 13th of October, when we were doing the response document, that a salary sacrifice happens when currently, if when you use the salary sacrifice, meaning that it's no longer a bursary because the employer takes part of your salary before you pay the tax and deem that part to be a bursary. So we are of the view that that is not a bona fide bursary because you take part from your salary before tax, meaning that if bursaries are provided through the salary sacrifice schemes, those are not bursaries and it does not provide equity to those employees that do not structure their salaries accordingly. Because what happens is that if you get 100 rand and then there's a bursary of 5 rand, so what happens is that, meaning that you're going to pay tax on 95 because the 5 rand went to bursaries. But if you do not have a salary sacrifice, you're going to pay tax on 100 and thereafter pay the school fees. So the salary sacrifice makes provision for those employees to pay for their children's education before tax. Thank you, Chair. I think Chris can talk about economic principles then.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I mean, I think the original objective of this amendment is important to keep in mind, and that really was to try and stop cases where an employer would provide an additional amount, an additional bursary to an employee or relatives of their employees. But then those employees would get a shock at the end of the tax year because it would be seen as a fringe benefit and they would have to pay tax on those amounts. So the original exemption is there to try and stop lower income employees having this tax penalty applied to them when an employer, you know, out of their own, you know, when an employer decided to try and provide an additional educational benefit to these employees. In this case, with the salary sacrifice, there's no additional amount provided by the employer at all. You know, the employer can then restructure in coordination with the employee, restructure their affairs in order to reduce their tax for education payments that the employee might have been paying in any case. So we needed to be extremely careful about this. This would be a fundamental change in the whole principle of private benefits being tax deductible if we were then to allow a salary sacrifice regime to be explicitly included in this legislation. It would basically mean that all formal sector employees with incomes below 600,000 could then have a tax deductible or tax payments for education that could be before tax and in effect be exempt from tax. So we needed to look back at this original objective and make sure that this new fundamental principle isn't coming in through the side door. And SARS would also have quite a bit to say, I'm sure, about whether these bursaries are in fact bona fide bursaries if there is no additional payment being made by the employer. It is just restructuring of those affairs. So this amendment really is just to stop that one type of restructuring in their affairs, which wasn't linked to the original objective of this amendment. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, I think we are done with the report. Can somebody move for the adoption of the TLAB report?
I move for the adoption of the TLAB report.
Honorable Nkoma moves for the adoption of TLAB. Any second?
Seconded, Chair.
Seconded.
Chairperson, could you please note that the DA would reserve its position?
Oh, okay, we'll note that. Then let's move to...
And Chair, I just want to triple check, sorry, just because of the legalities, that the change to clause 17 will be noted in the language.
Yes.
Just to comply with the procedure to amend money bills.
Okay. And then let's move to the TLAB.
Now, Chair, this is not a money bill, so there's no such procedures that apply for the other two bills. This is for your info.
What is this? Comrade Momo?
So when a bill deals with admin issues, then it's a usual Section 76 bill. So both a money bill and this bill will go through Section 76. But when a bill deals with a specific tax or levy or appropriation, for example, then it's classed the money bill. And the Constitution says it can't deal with any other matter in substantive detail. So that's why we have to split every tax bill between the admin bill and the money part of the bill, which deals with the actual rate and the base and so on of the tax.
Okay. But we also have to go through clause by clause, isn't it? Even on this one.
Yeah, the procedure is the same. It's just that when there's an amendment, there's no the Minister of Finance doesn't have to come in. But the procedure to when it's a money bill, then there's a obligation to consult to the Minister of Finance if there's any changes. The committee can override the minister, but you've got to give him an opportunity to to make an input. That's just my layperson's interpretation. I'm sure Advocate Jenkins will have a better answer than me.
Okay. Let's proceed. That's the object of the bill. Clause 1. There it is. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Clause 2.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Clause 3.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 4. Agreed. Clause 5. Agreed.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 6.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 7.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 8. Agreed.
Agreed.
Clause 9. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Clause 10.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 11.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Clause 12. Agreed.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 13. Agreed.
Agreed. Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 14. Agreed.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 15. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Clause 16. Agreed.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 17. Agreed.
Agreed.
Clause 18. Agreed.
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 Clause 19.
Agreed.
Clause 20.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 21.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 22.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 23. Agreed.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 24. Agreed. Sorry.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 25.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 26.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 27. Agreed.
Agreed.
Clause 28. Agreed.
Agreed.
clause 29. Agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 30. Agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 31.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 32.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 33.
Agreed.
Clause 34.
Agreed.
Agreed. Alan, let's move to clause 35.
Agreed.
Agreed. Clause 36.
Agreed.
Agreed. Memorandum. Do we have to go through the memorandum? Right at the beginning, we looked at the object of the bill, isn't it? I think we are done with the talab. The TLAB and the TALAB. Okay. So we have to go to what? To the report. Alan, do you have a report on TALAB? I want to see the report on the TLAB.
Yes, Chair, we do. But before I project, should members maybe just move and second for the adoption of the bill?
Okay. Can you move on for the adoption of the bill as a whole?
If I may come in before the committee votes on the whole bill.
Okay.
There was an issue which I have highlighted in the report of the removal of the phrase of willfulness. In some of the offences that was proposed in the bill, it was vehemently opposed almost by all the stakeholders who made comments on it, and I don't think that the committee reached a position on that amendment. It affects the Income Tax Act and the VAT Act and the Tax Administration Act. So I think, I don't know, I spoke to Advocate Jenkins early this morning about it because in the response document, I think has made some kind of concessions to some of the submissions that were made, that it will try and cascade the offenses where this kind of proposal will apply to. So I don't know, perhaps if you can ask us to explain if there are changes in that regard from the draft bill to the final bill that is that was presented with the MTPBS. Yes.
Chair, would you like me to come in on that?
Which clause is it so that we can follow you?
So, Chair, it is in clauses 8, 21 and 35. And I think 35 is perhaps the best example.
Alan, can you go back to the bill so that we look at 35?
Sorry, Franz, just say again which clause?
Clause 35. Great.
Okay. There we are.
Great, thank you. So as was indicated in the response document, the offences are split in two now. The original proposal was to remove the concept of willfully and without just willfully from all the offences and retain the concept of and just cause, or just cause on its own in the final version. Now the commentators were very uncomfortable with that, and as the response document points out, this is not something new. This is something that has existed in our laws prior to the Tax Administration Act, and we then looked very carefully at the offences that were at stake, and as the response document notes, the concession that we were proposing was to split the offences into two sets. The one would be those where willfulness is required, so only willfulness, and the other is where it's willfulness or negligence that comes into play. And that is what you will then see in the final version of the bill that is before you, and 234 here makes that distinction very clear. So if you look at 234 sub 1, it starts any person who willfully. So negligence does not come into play for these offences. And I think the one that is probably the one that will give the most relief to taxpayers and tax practitioners is 1B. So it is only if you willfully issue an erroneous, incomplete or false document that that there is an offence. So that was something that people were quite worried about. They thought, well, if we just make a mistake, we're in trouble. Now, there are two answers to that. The first is, even if we are only dealing with negligence, it has to be the kind of mistake that a reasonable person would not make. So there was already an implicit level of protection against an ordinary mistake simply being picked up as an offence. Because it would have to be an unreasonable error. But we've gone a step further here, and here it is a willful, erroneous, incomplete, or false document that is issued. So, and that is then the case for 1A through G. Then we go to sub 2, where it's willfully or negligently, and so there, negligence does get you into trouble. But again, I emphasize, it's got to be something that the reasonable person would not have done. So if the reasonable person would have taken the steps, you're not in trouble. But if you're acting unreasonably, then you are potentially in trouble. And so that is the distinction that's been drawn. There is no move to increase the penalties here. The penalties remain as they always were, and the flexibility is given to the court to decide on what the appropriate level of penalty is. So if it is just over the bar, clearly the penalty would be a modest one. But if you're very far over the bar and you have willfully done something and it's clearly a serious problem, then the court would impose a heavier penalty. And so that discretion is available, which again, I think should be a comfort to taxpayers. So we believe we've struck the appropriate balance there, this should then be something that allays the fears that we expressed before the committee.
Okay. Thanks. There we are. Do you want to make a follow-up, Dr. Sopin, to assist the committee?
No, Chair, I do not, but I just thought if members had any questions to this, if they don't and they accept this, that there have been these concessions that were made and changes in the bill, Then I just wanted to highlight that there was this change that we made. So which means the bill now no longer looks exactly like it was during the hearings.
Okay. No, thanks very much for that. Let's move to the report on the talab. Alan, can you project the report on the screen? There we are. You can go down. Key issues. Amendment. Any comment? Prove an intent from certain statutory tax offences, negligence. Okay. Willfully, the proposal in Talab in the requirement of willfulness be deleted from the certain provisions of the Income Tax Act 1962. Dr. Sope, 4.3, we're referring to what France was clarifying or something.
Yes, it refers to that chairperson that's where SARS made that kind of concession that it was going to cascade or revise proposals as it has been explained now. So I think you should go to 4.5. and say something there that the committee accept this revision that has been made.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. No, there we are, members. Any comment on the report before we move for the adoption? Okay. Any mover for the adoption of the report on Talab? Makosikazi, where are you?
We are here. I'm about to say I move for the adoption of the report.
Okay. And my younger, where are you?
Where are you, Kochabez? I said count the adoption of the report.
Umalali, Pela. You are a young person.
I'll help you sleep on duty.
Chairperson, could you note that the DA would reserve its position?
Okay. Note that, Dr. George. Thanks very much. And then I think we are done with the business of the day.
Just to come in, excuse me, so the report is moved, seconded, and Dr. George reserved the DA's position, so if you can just do the same for the bill as well.
We haven't adopted the bill?
No, Chair, not yet.
Okay. Honorable Mavila, can you move and call my seven?
Yes, I move for the adoption of the bill.
Honorable Ko. Honorable Nkomo, where are you?
I'm Chairperson, could you note that the DA would reserve our position?
Okay, noted, Dr. George. Any announcement, Secretariat, before we close the meeting?
Nothing related to this meeting, Chair, but just to say that the committee is meeting on Friday again to receive response to the public submissions on the Audit Profession Amendment Bill. So that's this Friday from 9 to 12.
Okay. We're supposed to be meeting next Tuesday to consider that bill, and it has been brought forward. Is it my understanding?
No, Chair. You'll remember that Treasury and IRBA wrote to yourself that the legal advisors or the senior legal advisor, they were caught up with the MTBPS, and the person responsible for IRBA was off sick at the time. So they requested we postpone the meeting for them to report back. So that's why we scheduled it for this Friday, but the adoption of the committee report and the bill still remains for next week, Tuesday.
Okay. That's it, honorable members, officials from Treasury and staffs and officials from Parliament. Thanks very much. We have come to the end of our meeting. Members will meet this afternoon at the National Assembly. Thanks very much. The meeting is officially adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.